their money.
Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
These three modes of material nature being further manifested as matter, knowledge and activities put the eternally transcendental living entity under conditions of cause and effect and make him responsible for such activities. Purport. Because they are between the internal and external potencies, the eternally transcendental living entities are called marginal potency of the Lord. Factually, the living entities are not meant to be so conditioned by material energy, but due to their being affected by a false sense of lording it over the material energy, they come under the influence of such potency and thus become conditioned by the three modes of material nature. This external energy of the Lord covers up the pure knowledge of the living entities eternally existing with Him. But the covering is so constant that it appears that the conditioned soul is eternally ignorant. Such is the wonderful action of Maya, external energy manifested as if materially produced. By the covering power of the material energy, the material scientists cannot look beyond the material causes. But factually, behind the material manifestations, there are Adibhuta, Adhyatman, Adidaiva action, which the conditioned souls in the mode of ignorance cannot see. Adibhuta manifestation entails repetition of births and deaths with old age and diseases. Adhyatma manifestation conditions the spirit soul, and the Adidaiva manifestation is the controlling system. These are the material manifestations of cause and effect and the sense of responsibility of the conditioned actors. They are, after all, manifestation of the conditioned state, and a human being's freedom from such a conditioned state is the highest perfection of attainment. Karya karanana kartritve dravya jnana kriyashvara badnanti nityada muktam mayinam purusham guna. These three modes of material nature being further manifested as matter, knowledge and activities put the eternally transcendental living entity under conditions of cause and effect and make him responsible for such activities. Om jnana tirandasya jnana lakshanasya chakshu unmilitamena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manodhistam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa karamayam tadati svaparantikam. Yes, so in the Isupanishad it's mentioned that so this Isupanishad is Isha Upanishad. It's the first Upanishad, and it's about Isha, the Lord. And normally Upanishad is about the impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth. But in Isha Upanishad, which is the first one, is clearly indicating the person, personality. Specifically, first it speaks in very general terms, Isha Upanishad, first verses, that he is the Purnam, he is the totality. That means that the personal feature is not so apparent in the beginning verses of his Upanishad. I also speak that he's the closest and he's the farthest away, and he's faster than anybody else, but he has no legs. So this is typical Upanishad language. But in the end, and that verse Prabhupada quotes many times, the last verses of this Upanishad is Hiran Mayena Patrina Satya Shabi Tamku Tattam Pushina Pavrina Satya Dharma Adristaya. That please, my dear Lord, you know, remove your covering potency so I can see your mukha, your face. So that from having understood the initial verses in the desire is to understand this person or this absolute truth. That desire is growing up. And also understanding that this can only happen by mercy. It has to happen by revelation. But in the Upanishad, it's mentioned one of the verses is that you have to understand science and nescience side by side. You have to understand side by side. You have to understand knowledge of transcendence of Krishna, Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, Prayojana Gyan. So this is knowledge about Isha. But side by side, you have to have knowledge about nations. That means Maya. It's not. So this is the instruction of Isupanishad. You have to. It's not enough to have be attracted to Krishna or have knowledge about Krishna. Because you also have to have knowledge about Maya and the workings of Maya and how we are conditioned in Maya. Otherwise it becomes, you want to reach Krishna but you don't want to leave Maya. So Prabhupada said that you can't have the cake and eat it too. Prabhupada said you cannot have full Krishna consciousness and sanskrit education at the same time. So this is in these verses described about the modes of nature and how, like Prabhupada said, they cover up so that you think like it's like covering up so that it's almost that you have always been in ignorance. It's called Nityabaddha. Nityabaddha means forever condition. But it doesn't mean. Nityabaddha is translated as forever condition or forever in ignorance, but it doesn't mean eternally, because that means the soul would always be. But it's proper that from time immemorial, when you enter into this material world, you become a Nityabaddha. And you can't trace out when it started. But since it started, you were in ignorance. You were covered up. And so in understanding, the Bhagavatam is here for glorification of Krishna. But an essential part of the glorification of Krishna is to understand the how the living entity is entrapped in the material world. And Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita the same thing. Tribi gunamai bhava ebi savam idam jagat mohitam nabijanati mam evya param avyayam. He's saying because of these three modes, he's saying in 7th chapter that this Bhumir Apanolova Yova, they are my energies. This is the first, because 7th chapter is about knowledge of the Absolute. Because Krishna is saying in 7th chapter, now will I tell you, Maya Sakta Manaparta Yogam Yunga Madashraya Asamsayam Samagarmam Yatagyasa Sitatrinu. He said, listen now, Arjuna, I will. Listen what I'm telling you, because from the 7th chapter, Krishna starts to speak about himself in Bhagavad Gita. starting with 7th chapter, and then the central chapter is the 9th chapter, which is about pure devotional service. But it starts in the 7th chapter, speak about, I will now give you the knowledge by which you attain all perfections. You will be attached to me, you will get out of illusion, you will become free from doubts, you will become a yogi, you will become a controller of the senses and the mind. All this just by listening. Touch renew. Now listen how you will get these perfections. So, of course you have to listen from Krishna and the pure devotee. You can't listen from anybody. Otherwise it will not have that effect. So, but then Krishna is saying this is the potency of this proper listening, that all these perfections will come. But what does he start to speak about? He starts to speak about, he's going to speak about himself. But the first thing he speaks about is his energies, and that they belong to him. Because this is the first thing we need to know. First thing we need to know to get out of illusion is not to understand his, what is he doing in the spiritual world? Sometimes people want to know Bhagavata Saptaha, just hear about Radha Krishna pastimes. In India there is this parties going around. And then when devotees, disciples of Prabhupada, also some disciples, they started to do this. They had some small group. It was called the Gopi Bhava Club, GBC. The Gopi Bhava Club was, and they came together and they just took this part from Prabhupada's books, which is about the business of them. And Prabhupada got to hear about this, he became furious. And his lips were shivering. That means that was the symptoms that he was really angry. And, but Prabhupada, we are only taking from your books. Yeah, but and he said, first desire, first deserve, then desire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also mentioned other time that it's not the business of the children to poke their nose into the sex life of their parents. Sometimes he used that kind of. This is not, first, you know, this is not the business of children. You have to grow up. You will understand what is this loving relationships. And growing up, and the first thing is then, like with children also. They are like that. They think everything in their hands is theirs. If they get a grip on something, it's theirs. You know? And if you try to take it from them, they become upset. That is the ignorant child. So this is the first thing, one of the things you learn a child, you teach a child is, especially if the child takes something that belongs to somebody else, not your own family. If it's your own house, you go along. But if it takes someone else's car keys or smartphone, so you have to teach the child, no, you can't take this. This belongs to this person. You have to give it back. So this is the first thing Krishna speaks about in the 7th chapter. He's going to speak about himself. He speaks, actually, these are mine, not yours. And that he is the owner, proprietor of all of the material world. It's not, so this is called a Sabandhagan. It's not about, you can't know more closely about Krishna's personality before understanding these things. And it's actually obvious that this world is not ours, because if it's ours, why we lose it then? We have a body. The body is not even ours, because at time of death, that knocking on the door, come on, move out of your body. Yeah, but you know, I have to clean. I have some more things to do. No, move out now. Not wait 1 second. That means it's not yours. It's on loan. But then Krishna says, Tri Viguna Maya Bhava. Because of the modes of nature, you cannot understand this. You cannot understand Krishna. You cannot. He's describing this Maya, yes, Daiviyas, Aguna Maya, Mama Maya, Dracha. That is described in the 7th chapter also about this potency of Maya is extremely powerful. And you cannot overcome it. And this is the reason why we cannot understand obvious things. You can't things which are so obvious in one sense, if you are a little bit in line, you can't understand. So then therefore this Upanishad is saying you have to study about the workings of Maya also, not just about the Krishna and his qualities and his pastimes and the nature of Krishna. You have to understand about the workings of Maya, how you are trapped. How you are so trapped that you come into this material world and you are completely controlled and you think you are in control. It's like the Maya is so, because Krishna's energies, they are really overwhelming. They are not small things. It's mentioned about the potency, because this question is asked in the Bhagavatam, how the soul can completely forget himself. How is it possible for the soul, which is eternal, and to suddenly be, you know, completely lost? It's like, and then it's mentioned that Shukadeva Swami mentioned, this Maya potency makes this possible, and it's so potent that it can make you think that you can see your own head being cut off. Because there was probably mentioned, there was one teacher chastising a student and said, I don't know, he just scared him, said, if you don't behave properly, I'm gonna, because this will not happen in modern time, but I will cut off your head and hang it, and something like this, you know, but just to scare, it's the technique of the snake rising the hoots, you know, it will not bite, but just rise the hoots to. So Prabhupada says in Purport that this is the potency of Maya, that, and the child got scared. But you know, it's not the thing is that it's not possible to see your head hanging, because if you don't have a head, you can't see. You know, so how, but Maya can make you think, oh, I will see my head, you know, oh, how scary. But that's the potency of Maya. It's magician. There was a magician, this most famous American magician. He managed to, the great pride of America is the Liberty Statue. at the entrance of New York. It stands on a small island. It's really, you really see it when you go into the harbor of New York. And some or other, this magician, he managed to put up, went up in a helicopter and put up some covering, some cloths. And he managed to make it disappear. And the people were, they were devastated. It's disappeared. Our liberty statue has disappeared. And he was just a magician. And then he made it come back. Now, how he did it, you know. But, you know, a magician, he managed to do that. And then how much more powerful is Krishna's Maya? It's like scary. And Prabhupada said that you are not enough afraid of Maya. Because Prabhupada was, once he was lying down long time in front of the deities. I think it was in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And Tamal Krishna Swami, I think, was his servant. He was, he dared to ask Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, why were you lying so down? Long so down. And he said, I was praying. I was praying to the deities that I should not fall in Maya. And then he said, but Prabhupada, you never fall in Maya. Yes, I never fall in Maya because I'm always praying that I will not fall in Maya. So, and you are not afraid, you are not, this difference between me and you, it's, you are not afraid of Maya because you don't understand how powerful Maya is. So therefore this process in Kali Yuga is to be a beggar, to appeal. We're not able to follow the normal Vedic Dharma for gradual purification. So therefore only the direct appeal to Krishna, that's the Sankirtan. We're just appealing direct to Krishna. And Prabhupada said this is the way, attitude, how we explained, how you chant Hare Krishna mantra is, oh Mother Hara, you know. Oh, so it's also interesting that Prabhupada he presents Srimati Radharani not as the lover of Krishna, but as our mother. For, from our point of view, initially at least, she is our mother. We cannot understand how she is the lover of Krishna at the conditioned stage. Yeah. But she is the mother of all, in Mother Hara, that's how we, this is the first, you know, this Happening album from 1966, and Prabhupada explains, famous small text, it's written out also, Prabhupada explains, in the recording there is Prabhupada speaking and he explains the Hare Krishna mantra, how to chant. You're appealing to Mother Hara to be accepted by Krishna. So this is the beggar. You chant Hare Krishna like a beggar because you don't have qualifications. If you don't have qualifications, if you don't can pay the price or spiritual advancement, you have to beg. So this is, but in order to beg, you have to understand that you need to beg, that you are fallen. You know. And this is one of the problems of Maya, is that, because Lord Chaitanya is said to be, he's the only hope for those who have nothing. Well, have nothing means you don't think you have anything. You can have something, but you don't think you have anything. You don't think you have any qualifications. Because there is no qualifications for bhakti except that you get it. Your mercy is all that I'm made of. This is the Gurudev song. Yogyata Vichare Vichichinai Pai Tomara Karuna Sara. When I look upon myself, I find no qualification. I find no. Therefore, your mercy is essential to me. Prabhupada was asked by one disciple, how is it that we, and he was like so many disciples were hippies and they lived a hippie life. So that's not very sattvic life necessarily. So so they lived hippie life, free this, free that. And so what was our, we lived such a sinful life. What is our qualification to get bhakti? This is the highest. You know, that what Lord Chaitanya comes to give is the highest form of bhakti. It's the Raghunuga bhakti of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, you didn't have, no, I gave you the qualification. But one aspect of the Maya is that you think you have some qualification, or you think you don't have a qualification and become depressed. This is also the other side. I don't have a qualification, I'm depressed. Or I have and I become proud. But neither is, both is wrong. Even Krishna speaks in Bhagavatam, in the 11th chapter, 11th canto, he speaks very nice verse to sob adopt doubt of aspiring devotees, because he addresses, Krishna knows exactly everything about us, where we are, and what is our doubts and what is our worries. So he addresses one very common, because if you are a devotee and you have one foot in the material world and you have one foot in the spiritual world, that's basically where we are. We are on the way to, or not, the pure devotion hasn't sprouted, and at the same time we are not living the material life fully. So we are in this between, and this in-between stage is the difficult stage. When you reach little higher level, not even pure love, but then it goes, probably it goes a little bit by itself. Because when you have higher taste, steady higher taste, you're not battling with the doubts. But the doubts are there. Anishtita bhajana kriya, when you practice devotional service with doubts, there's still doubts. You're not. Then Krishna says, yes, my devotees, but at the same time, we know, yes, we are battling a little bit doubt, but at the bottom line, we know this material life, you're not going to be happy, it's hopeless. There is this understanding, and Krishna says, my devotees who understand this material life is actually is useless. You cannot attain your goal in life by living material life. You know that. You have a basic, but, and you are attracted to Krishna also. You are attracted to Krishna consciousness. There is this sense that this is the real life. But then he says, Anish. At the same time, you're still hanging in with some sense gratification. You're still somewhat conditioned. You haven't, you know it also that you have one foot here and one foot there. Basically, you understand that this doesn't work. Basically, you understand that spiritual life, this is what it is about. But you're still, you know, hanging in there. And then Krishna says that, yes, it should make you humble. You should regret that you are still weak for the material energy to some degree. But you should be happy, he says. You should not be depressed. You should be happy. And this is his instruction. So then you should do that. In other words, one should regret one's fallen petition, but one should not get hung up in it. Because this is also one trap. This is especially European speciality. Especially the German branch, including Scandinavians. They are inclined to depression. This is the conditioning. Other nationalities, they are more inclined to the passion. But anyway, but Krishna is very kind. He's giving this direction. He knows exactly where we are, and he's saying, oh, this is how we should do it. So, regretting, but but being afraid of Maya, that means taking shelter. And this is when you read about these things, so you will get gradually the realization. So therefore, one has to go into this. This is Upanishad's instruction. One has to go into this little bit the details of how the illusory potency is trapping us up by the modes of nature, whereby you can't see, like here described, you can't see the causes. You can't see what's going on, actually, on the bigger picture. And you are confused. Because if you can't see the causes, so you can also not solve the problem. It's very typical in material life. Everybody experiences problems individually and as a whole society. They experience the problems, but because of their covering, so they cannot see the causes, the behind causes. Like Prabhupada said, one of the things you can't even see, the reincarnation and the karma. Of course, now people are getting, because of the Sankirtan movement's purification, more and more people getting aware that there is a karma. So that means now it's some enlightenment is coming gradually. But before that, like 50 years ago, you can't see the causes, like for example, and therefore if you can't see the real causes, so you cannot solve the problem. And it's so much confusion because people are speculating. And when speculation is also just one trap of Maya. Yes, you are so intelligent. Oh, and then you speculate on something and it's just ignorance. But Maya will tell you, wow, this is really, now you got it. Now you really found the solution. And they are being praised in society, like Freud, you know. He's working with psychological problems and he thinks, now I got it. It's all this sex, you know, this is the... And Prabhupada also admitted, yes, the material world runs by sex, but you have to understand the big picture. You can't understand it like he did. Because what was his conclusion in the end? When the, you know, what has it led to? The psychology under Freud for 100 years. It has led to people becoming more mentally sick. So this is, So this is, you just see something, but you haven't found the causes. Because behind, you know, okay, lust is a problem, but, you know, why? You have to go beyond that. He came up with this. You know, what is the goal of life then? To die. That was Freud's. You know. we are suffering so much here. Solution is to die and hope that you will die forever. It's very nice. You know,
this is the first thing.
Yeah, but that was his, you know, and this is what we are living up with. So this, my swirling around, and if you don't get the mercy and you get in touch with Vedic knowledge, and you know, you get in touch with those who are enlightened, so then you have no chance. No chance. So that's why it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's said that when a living entity goes into the material world, he's lost. That's mentioned here. Nitya Bada is lost. Have no, come under in illusion. And how can you lift yourself? There's this expression, how can you lift yourself up after the hair, you know, or tail? You can't lift yourself, but that's what everybody's trying. And I think it's possible. We just have to be more smart. And Pashana Pina Pashati, Sukadeva Goswami says, Deya Patra Kala Tradishu Atma Sanisu Satsu Pi Tesham Pramata Nidanam Pashana Pina Pashati. Sukadeva Goswami describes the beginning of second canto. He describes, if you don't have this spiritual knowledge, which you have to get from somewhere, you can't figure it out yourself. You have to get it. And that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita mentioned, Lord Chaitanya speaks that because the soul coming in is lost, so therefore Krishna is merciful. He will come and give the scripture. And he came and he sends his pure devotees because of his compassion. Because he knows they went into this and they will stay in Nitya Bada. They will stay there forever. Unless I come and intervene. So Shukadeva Goswami said, if you don't have this spiritual knowledge, you will take shelter of your body. Either get a strong body and a strong mind or whatever. Even this modern yoga is the same stuff. You take shelter of the body. If you just go for that. I did it myself. when I experienced the suffering of this material, I had to do something to improve my life. So I started with yoga. I was extreme. You know, I had 3 times a day I did yoga with 3 cold showers, you know, ice cold showers, and I was really intense. And it improved. It made life get up from ignorance more a little bit and come up to some other goodness. And it made me able to handle life better, but it didn't solve. Mm-hmm. I was still full of anxiety. It may be able to live, yes, but it didn't go, you know. So, so you take shelter of your body, as Shukadeva Goswami said, or your family, or kind of, in modern times, it's not so much family, it's more the state or the social setup or whatever. And they are all fallible soldiers. And Pashanapina Pashati Tesham Pramata Nidanam. That means now you enter into a kind of, Pramata means a mad, a crazy life. Why it's crazy? Because you see it doesn't work. You take shelter of your body, you take shelter of your family, and then they betray you, or the politicians or whatever is protected, they don't, you know. And those for whom you took shelter are not giving that shelter. And you have enough experience of it. You have experience over and over, and it's all the news mentioning these things all the time, and you have enough experience, and you still try to take shelter. You still continue. And that's pramatta. That means this is crazy. But because of illusion, you continue with something that doesn't work. And so this is it's like a fly in the net. If the fly goes in the spider's web, whatever it does, it becomes more into the spider's web, and still it will do more, and it becomes more, and it cannot understand. So this Maya is, so this is a little bit description. This Maya is so powerful, it's scary. It makes you completely foolish. We don't understand what's going on. One morning, we were in Sankirtan, and we actually lived, we had a house in what's this place? Stabek. Isn't it Stabek?
Yeah, there's a place called Stabek.
Before Sandvika.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stabek, yeah. We had a house there, just up from the... We rented a house there because we had a temple in Bergen. So we rented a house there as a base for Sankirtan. And we stayed there for some months of the year. And one morning, that was Sunday morning, so we had a day off. And that morning, we were up in the second floor, and we was looking out the window, and there was one family walking on the road, Sunday morning walk, you know. And somewhere other, we got this, Krishna gave us this realization about, you know, we looked out and we said, they're walking there. And somewhere other, this realization, they were walking there, but they don't know, they don't understand what's going on. You know, they think, we are out walking, we have a nice life, we have control of our life, and we understand things. And they were like, you know, and this realization came on such a way, we started to laugh. Not because they were foolish, but we started to laugh because it was hysterically. We were rolling on the floor laughing because because it was so scary how powerful this Maya is, you know. That we got some revelation of Maya, and we were laughing like anything. We couldn't stop, you know. So that was a little, Krishna gave a little glimpse of. So, so then, then that, now what does it have to do then with these insights in the power of Maya and how we are trapped? What does it have to do then with actually the love to Krishna? And because this is what Bhagavatam is about, it's the glorification of Krishna. What it has to do with the glorification of Krishna? Yeah, of course that he's very powerful, that's one thing, but he has a powerful energy. But actually, no. Like, for example, Lord Chaitanya described in Sikshastaka, this second verse describing that Durdaivami Drishami Hajanu Nanu Raga. You know, my dear Lord, Nam Namakari Bhavadani Jasava Shakti Satarpya Namates Maranela Kala Itadishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Durdaivami Drishami Hajanu Nanu Raga. That you are so merciful that you appear in your name with all your powers. But I'm so unfortunate, I don't have attraction. Nanuraga. So this, I don't have attraction means I have attraction for my instead. Even though you are, you know, so so one might think that because Lord Chaitanya, when he was reciting this, he was happily reciting it. This was one of the verses that Lord Chaitanya himself wrote. One of the few. He only wrote this out 8 verses, describing the progression of chanting. And the first verse is about enthusiasm. Oh, this is fantastic. You come in contact with the Sankta movement and you feel relief. And you think, this is fantastic, you know. But then, when you go further, you start to see how conditioned you are, how in ignorance you are. And this is expressed in this verse. And sometimes devotees become like, oh, when I was starting up Krishna consciousness, I was so happy and so enthusiastic. And now I think I'm going backwards. Because I'm seeing how, you know, many bad qualities I have, and how much in Maya, and how much material desires there is, and how little attraction I have for Krishna, and how much attraction I have for Maya. And you think you're going backwards. No, you're not going backwards. You're just waking up to reality. You wake a little bit up to reality, then you start to see how powerful is Maya and how much we are trapped in Maya. And this is not a cause for discouragement, because that makes, because the whole point is that if I'm, you know, because we are in Kali Yuga, we are so stuck in Maya, we are so locked up in this, because we are not children of the Dharma. We were not living up a sattvic life in a sattvic culture. No, we are in the age of adharma, and we are really stuck. And but that makes Krishna's glory so much more. That he, therefore, Lord Chaitanya expressed that you know, even I'm like this, I don't have attraction for you, but you are still appearing to me. In other words, the first thing Lord Chaitanya said was in this song, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bol, Enecha Aushadi Mayanasabara Lagi, Harinama Mamantra Lau Tumi Magi. Lord Chaitanya is traveling around saying, wake up, wake up. I have brought the medicine of the Holy Name. And the Holy Name, the medicine of this process of Krishna consciousness. I brought the medicine. So this is, it makes Krishna's glory even bigger. And we discussed this in Bhagavatam yesterday, that's the greatest quality of Krishna is his compassion to the fallen souls. That's the greatest expression of love. It's how he goes to those who are, like Bhakti Charuswami explained, why Lord Chaitanya, who is coming with the highest, why he gives it to the lowest. Those who are farther away from Krishna. He couldn't be more far away. Those who are, you know, even not attracted. Krishna is so beautiful, you know, not attracted. And why he goes out to them. Why Lord Nityananda is running after Jagai and Madai, jumping on crocodiles. You know, some other followers of Lord Chaitanya was riding on tigers and slapping them, and you know, animals. Lord Chaitanya also liberated animals, tigers. He splashes water on the tigers, elephants, you know. Why is going to, and Lord Nityananda specifically went to the Suvarnabharnik, these bankiers, these gold dealers. The gold dealers were the most hopeless people. They are so proud. They have it's like Wall Street. You know, Wall Street people are maybe not the most inclined to spiritual life. Totally proud and intoxicated. But he went to them. And why? So Bhakti Chiruswami said, yes, if you have a family. Because Lord Chaitanya is father and mother in one person. If you have a family and there are many children. And most of the children are well. They took education. They got married. They have a good job. But the good parents, and there is one child which is useless. It's sick. It doesn't grow up. Not speak properly. It's like a hopeless case. But the good parents will just sit with that child only and give all the attention to that child. That's Lord Chaitanya. The others, they manage. So that's the specifically it comes from the female energy of Srimati Radharani as the mother, expressed in Lord Chaitanya. So this is therefore this to be aware of how we are Kali Yuga citizens. We are Manda Sumanda Matayo, Manda Bhagya Yupadruta. Unfortunate, always disturbed, very slow, very dull, very agitated. This is described in Bhagavatam. What is the characteristic of people in Kali Yuga? More in illusion than ever, you know. Very confused, speculate like anything. But to those people, Lord Chaitanya, his Kali Yuga Pavana, to those people he appears specifically. So therefore Lord Chaitanya is expressing his Shastaka, you are so merciful, I'm like this, I'm Kali Yuga product. But you are coming to me specifically and offering this direct relationship. Normally you have to prepare yourself. Even Krishna says you have to surrender first, then you can get a relationship. But Lord Chaitanya just offered the relationship directly. And therefore, understanding your fallen position, understanding how you are, the power of Maya, that is an ingredient in appreciating the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, it's part of the glorification. Kadamba Kanamaras once said that on the dark background of Kali Yuga, the shining form of Lord Chaitanya becomes more beautiful. So therefore, this understanding of one's position in total illusion, one's fallen position, this is an essential ingredient in the devotion to Krishna. And Acharyas express it like that also. Narottama Das Thakur, you will not find a person more fallen than me. And sometimes you read his songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's like, oh, I am so full of material desires, I have so much greed, I am happy when others are unhappy. And I describe the whole list of all this. And I say, oh my God, you know. And what does... But he is such a great devotee, he's an Acharya. And how does it fit? No, this is just the background. Because the end is always like, but you are so merciful, Krishna. But please have mercy on me. So it's not about, that's just the background. All this description, which takes most of the song, it's just the background. The essence is in the end. That the glorification of Krishna, how merciful he is. Because this is the greatest manifestation of love. It's more great, therefore Lord Chaitanya is said to be the essence of all incarnations. Sabha Avatar, Sara Shiromani. This is the song of Lord Chaitanya's Thakur. It's the essence of all incarnations. All incarnations are giving something. The Purusha Arthas, they are offering the material world. For the living entities, they have food, they have a place to live. They get guidance how to live here. This is the Purusha Avatars. They are making the creation. So they are giving. And then other avatars, they are giving also some knowledge. So Lord, therefore Krishna is compared to the sun. The sun is just giving energy and heat and light. Emanating, you know, always giving. But Lord Chaitanya, he gives everything. He gives the knowledge, but he gives himself. And he gives Krishna directly. So therefore he is the, and to the least deserving. And how is it possible? Yeah, that's pure love. Because love is unconditional. It doesn't, how is it possible that because love is free. He can do what he likes. If he wants to give himself to those who have farthest away, he can do that. And therefore Rupa Goswami said, so we have to understand how we are the farthest away, how then we can appreciate and actually be more inclined to accept. Because the only thing is needed when it comes to the Sankirtan movement, you have to be receptive. The only thing you need is to be receptive, to receive. And therefore Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is so simple that you just might miss it. Be receptive. Because that's what Lord Chaitanya is doing. So Lord Chaitanya is therefore expressing his akshastika, you know. You are so merciful that you are coming to me. And what am I? I can't even. It's like a guest coming to your house. And, you know, a guest, the greatest guest is coming to your house. And Krishna is the greatest guest, you know, is coming to your house. And you are so handicapped. And you, he comes, you know, and, oh, it's Krishna. Oof. You know, but you know, your mind, you know. And then after, please take a seat. the clothes are in the washing. I have to hang them up. So you have to go. And then you just go down in the cellar and you hang up your clothes. And Krishna said, "Oh, what am I doing?" And then I have something on the stove, you know. And this is what where we are, you know. And I just sitting there, you know. So this is, you know, so to understand how one is really in Maya, and really a Kali Yuga, this is necessary to appreciate how merciful is Lord Chaitanya, and how, you know, Nityananda goes out to Jagaya Madai, and they try to kill him. A few days later, he goes up again. And then when he goes, and then that Madai tries to kill again, and then Lord Nityananda, yeah, you can kill me. Yes, I just chant Hare Krishna. And then your guy wakes up. Wait a minute, this is unbelievable. We are trying to kill him, and he just wants to give us the. And then he says, stop, you know, this is the saint. Stop! So this, he got a little glimpse of who they were, what they are doing, and about how merciful. So this little glimpse, that was the change, then he surrendered. So this is for us the same. Wake up, by contact with the Sankirtan movement, you wake up a little bit. You can understand where you are at, how fallen you are, and how, and then how you are subjected to such perpetual mercy. Prabhupada said, "You disciple asked, what if you fall down?" And then Prabhupada said, "Then you rise up again." And then he said, what if you fall down again? then you rise up again. What if you fall down 200 times and you rise up 200 times? In other words, like this. If you've been in Mayapur, in Navadvip, there is Dameshwara Mahaprabhu. This is the deity of Lord Chaitanya, who is the master of the Dham. This is in Devananda Ashram. You know this temple? In Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya standing like this.
Vishnupriya,
but it's Devananda Ashram. Because it's Lord Chaitanya standing like this. And in Ekachakra, Lord Nityananda is standing like this also. In Ekachakra, Lord Nityananda's home, birthplace, there's a deity, the main deity of Lord Nityananda is standing like this, same way. This mudra means just take. But. No, just take. Yeah, but I am. Just take. And this is what Nityananda did to the guy. You know. Yeah, you kill me, but just take. So this is this appreciation of, you know, that Lord Chaitanya, the most generous thing. This is for changing the heart. So therefore you see Prabhupada, sometimes disciples had problems and they went away. And maybe they didn't. But when they came back, you know, this was. There was one sannyas, you know, Mother Dvisa Swami, he was very instrumental to, he was a very powerful preacher, and he opened, he started up in Australia and New Zealand, and this, he was like a pioneer, probably saying, but somehow he got problems with his sannyas, and he, that was during Prabhupada's time, and he left, and Prabhupada was very upset that they spread the news that it was gossip, you know. And anyway, he got married then. And Prabhupada was at the end in 1977 when in Vrindavan, when he was about to leave the body. So Mother Dvisa, he came and visited him there. And Prabhupada just took him and patted him on the head, and he, oh, where's your wife? You know, and how's it going with your wife? He was, you know, he was not concerned with whatever mistake. He was concerned that he came to him, and he took, you know. So this is Lord Chaitanya alone. They are not looking at they are looking at a little bit interest in Krishna consciousness. And we should understand that and not get too this thing about being understanding one's position in Maya is to make us humble. That's the make us understand we are dependent. This is the, not to become I'm a bad person or everybody's like this in Kali Yuga more or less. No, it's to make us humble, because the only thing between us and getting the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya is the pride. Why people are not taking this beautiful Sankirtan movement in this modern society to a great degree? Because they are proud. They think they got something. They think they are okay. We have our social security system, we have our opulences, you know. It's just the pride. Because what is wrong, you know? Okay, they can take prasadam at the restaurant, that's okay. But, and some people who are not so proud, simple people, they can appreciate the harinam, they go and dance. But some, you know, sometimes there are people going, the harinam is there, it's loud, it's very clear that there is something going on. And they just walk straight, there is no Hare Krishna chanting here. It doesn't exist. I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. You can see that. You can read that mind is like an open book. And it's pride, you know. But isn't it beautiful? What isn't it common sense is some people are chanting and then they are not drunk. Well, they are drunk, but they are not drunk in a chemical way. So, isn't it nice in this boring society, somebody out happy dancing? Common sense, it's nice. No. Crazy Krishna's in tennis shoes. Why are you dancing like that? Are you crazy? You must be brainwashed. Because no. Must be brainwashed. Because no, this life is... Nobody is happy like this without being drunk. So this pride is only stand in between. Otherwise, the mercy is just there. And take it. You know. So therefore, Krishna will let us see how, like expressed in Sisastaka, how little attraction to Krishna I have. And he will let us see. Radhakrishna also explained, you remember you were in Yatra. This was the one instruction that really, it was worth to come there just to hear this one. 11 days of Yatra in Mayapur, just to hear this one point. And one day he said, yes, actually, devotees may actually be in an advanced position. Because actually, from the point of view of the Vedas and Bhagavad Gita, when you have taken up devotional service on this level, it's actually a quite advanced position. It's above liberation. But then he said, why devotees have struggling. They're struggling with anarthas, they're struggling with the battle of life, their social life. They have a tough life also. And he said, yeah, Krishna, he lets this happen to protect you from pride so that you can continue to be receptive. And that was that struck me really. That these things are there for helping us to be able to accept Lord Chaitanya's mercy and to continue. So Krishna is putting in these things. He, like you said, the waters may be from the objective point of view in an advanced position, but you don't feel like it. You get some reasons not to feel like that. you know, when you become harassed by a certain material desires or whatever. Actually, because you are practicing Krishna consciousness, you are, Prabhupada said, imperceptibly liberated. But he says imperceptibly liberated. But you can't perceive it. But you are. And Krishna may not allow you to perceive it, because pride is the big problem in the material world. This is the for spiritual life. This is the main, because this is the first. This is the one. This is the one thing that Acharya, our starting Acharya, is Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, getting the mercy of Krishna, he get instruction first. Tapa tapa, he engages in austerities. He get the revelation of Krishna. He actually get Krishna appears to him. And he's praying, because now he's going to do a service, and he prays for, this is in the Bhagavatam. And what is he praying? What is his main prayer? Is protection from pride. Because now he's going to do a big service, and he gets in prayer, he prays for protection from pride. It's more or less what Prabhupada was praying. I'm always praying not to fall in Maya, because he had a good reason to be proud also. Prabhupada had a good reason to be proud. He did something that was never done before. It's not recorded in history. Somebody spreading pure love of God in these countries, or Malachas and Yom. He had a good reason. So he was praying all the time. So Lord Brahma, originally, he prays. And the answer of Krishna is, he speaks the Bhagavatam in four verses. So therefore this Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, this service to the Bhagavatam, by hearing, by discussing, by chanting in the proper line, this is extremely important. This is Krishna's answer to the protection from pride. It will protect it. It will not necessarily that all pride is removed immediately, but it will protect us so that we will not, carry the way. Prabhupada even said, if you don't do this, you will fall down. If you don't take the Bhagavata Shavana. It's not enough to chant the holy name. You have to have the Bhagavata Shravana also. Unless you are already supremely advanced from before. But if you are in a developing stage. Because kirtan, Prabhupada said, there are two types of kirtan and both has to be there. One type of kirtan is holy name. Other type is the Bhagavata. Katha. That's kirtan also. When I talk about Sankirtan movement, it means also that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when he talks about chanting the name, he says, name, when it's spoken about chanting the name, like for example, Hara Nama Eva Kevalam, this is the only way, chanting the name. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when it says chanting the name, it means name, qualities, pastimes, all these things. It's not just the name. Because Prabhupada says that, do you know, like Prabhupada says, my books are the purpose of the name. This is the purpose of the name. And if you don't have the purpose of the name, you cannot chant the name in love. That's the problem, because the name is not different from Krishna. He said, I love Krishna. Yeah, but do you know his, where he lives? No. Do you know his qualities? No. Do you know his activities? No. Do you know his pastimes? No. Then how can you love him? So, Therefore, when you get, you know, you take a spiritual master and you get initiated to chanting the name, but along with getting the name, you get the 10 offenses to be avoided. And the 10 offenses to be avoided, you can turn it around. Instead of saying you should not offend devotees, you can say you should praise the devotees. And instead of, you know, you can take the positive. And then, like one of the offenses, you should follow the instructions of Guru. So Prabhupada, he gave this association of devotees in ISKCON, and he gave this books, and he gave a name. That's what he gives to this world. And all things together, like that. So then, this is protection from the pride that's coming specifically from the Bhagavad Gita. So that be nice to see, and Prabhupada said, yeah, this you have to do, otherwise you will fall down, because how do you fall down? By pride. It's always the same. Because from pride comes envy, and from envy comes offenses. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any comments?
I heard one commentary about why devotees have difficulties also.
Mm.
And the explanation was that when the mango, the fruit is almost ripe, the parrots hit with the
beak.
Make a scar on the fruit, but because of this, mango gets even sweeter.
Yeah.
So this is
Krishna
Lila. To make us more sweet, he gives us little.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's. Yeah, we have to. Yeah, one has to see that this was saying. We also have to get free from this desire for liberation. Well, I shouldn't have, and you know, Krishna comes to chant our Krishna and be happy. So I that means I'm chanting our Krishna, but there's so much trouble still, you know. Yeah, but. This now, there's trouble still, because you must be more absorbed in Krishna. Not think about, be less absorbed in. If you think the troubles are too troublesome, that means you're too much inclined to liberation still, because this is one of the material desires. It's still about you and your liberation. And this is the tinge of impersonalism. Because in the impersonalist, liberation is the goal. And as far as we are concerned about the liberation, we are tinged by impersonalism. But if you see the prayer that Srila Rupa Goswami uses to describe bhava, that means ecstatic love, in nectar devotion. You know, there's a verse spoken by or written by Sanatana Goswami, and it's like this: I don't have any love for Krishna. I don't have any attraction for the process to develop love for Krishna. I don't have any good qualities. I'm not from aristocratic background. I don't have any knowledge. But you, Krishna, you are so merciful. And that gives me hope. And that hope gives me pain. So the thing is that there is no sense there that you are liberated from all this, you know, these deficiencies. No, these things are there, but the meditation is Krishna is so merciful. You are, that's what the absorption is. These things are just, yeah, these things are there, but I'm not thinking about that. I just recognize it, and then it's about Krishna. That's the bhava. The bhava is not that I'm liberated from. No, the bhava is that Krishna is so merciful. He shows mercy to even such persons. Yeah. And so that's, yeah. And then the hope, that hope gives, that's the hope, and it gives pain, yeah, because I'm still like this. I'm still like this, but then again, Krishna is so merciful. So, yeah. So we should, don't expect utopia, Prabhupada said. Like there was this the wife of Shrutakirti was the servant of Prabhupada, and his wife was Amekala from UK, and she had cancer. Few years ago, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. I remember I was there before she left us. I saw her a few times, and she was known to be very active in service. She was a very active. She did a lot of service for the youth and for the, you know, she did so much service. And now she got cancer and she was totally handicapped and had to be taken care of like a baby, you know. And to be used to be so active and got into this is very difficult. Because she wasn't very old. I mean, of course, she was probably 55 or so, but she wasn't like a 80, 90 years old person. It's still there. I know that I had one physical crisis when I was 40 when I moved to Sweden. I couldn't do anything for 6 hours, and I had been used to traveling with, you know, him and others on Sankirtan, so active, you know, full on, you know, and then I couldn't do anything, and it was so difficult for the mind, you know. Oh, I'm useless, and I can't do anything, and what am I? And it was really a challenge for the mind. For half a year, I was just living in the ashram, couldn't do practically nothing, get a few classes, but it was like, couldn't chanting, I couldn't stand up in the kirtan, I was so exhausted. It was a karma, some astrological period. So I know it was very, very challenging. And she also, yeah, but it was very interesting, very nice statement she made. You know, look at me, you know, I was used to do, and now, you know, I'm like a vegetable, I can't do anything. And I have to chase, you know, I can't do anything now. I have to be feeding, and I have to be everything. Help me to the shop, you know, like, you know. And then she said, but I'm useless. And then she said, I'm useless. I can't do anything. I'm nothing now. But I know one thing. Prabhupada loves me and Krishna loves me. And that's it. So this is, and she was happy like us. So this is, yeah. So this is, what do you say? Bhava. The bhava is not, oh, I have so much love. No, no. It's not about me having so much love. No, I'm, that's not what it is. We shouldn't think, oh, when will I have the love? No, it's about how much love Krishna has. It's about Krishna, not about me. And that's the ecstasy that's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, that the stimulation for ecstasy, Baba, is Krishna. And his pure devotees, or whether anything to do with Krishna, like that. That's the stimulation for what is called arises there. You know. So, but to appreciate that, you have to gradually get off this. That will come as far as you get off this idea or this remnants of the false ego and pride that it's about my devotion or it's about my having good qualities or whatever. No. It's about how you, like this Amekala, how you are subjected to, like Radhanatmas. I went to Italy. I was also praying, like me, I felt I needed some really good instruction. So I was praying to the deities that please let him say something that I need to hear. So, and then in the first class he was saying this. He was speaking, then he took a long break. He was thinking something. And then he said, Krishna's love is the ultimate reality. It's all pervading. And he said it with such a deep realization. It's really. So this is... Yeah, Krishna consciousness means consciousness of Krishna. Not consciousness of me, first of all. That comes along, but it's mainly consciousness of Krishna. And that is the chant, Hare Krishna, be happy. Okay, Hare Krishna. Yes, see, this it's a holiday now. Spiritual holiday, you know. I've had two persons went on holiday in the restaurant, and I was going on marathon for a long time, so not too much hearing and chanting. So now it became a little much. Okay. All the rest is your problem.
The pastor will be there.
Yeah.